Hello, everyone. Welcome to Choice Us Thursday. As always, I'm your host, Christine Choi. Thank you for making great choices and listening to Choice Us. You can find Choice Us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review, and all that jazz. Today, my guest is my dear friend, Melissa Meyer. Today's topic deals with some really heavy issues of abusive relationships, and I can't thank her enough for opening up about her experience through it all. Well, without any further ado, here's my interview with Melissa. Hi, Melissa.
Hello. Happy to be here.
How are you?
Very good.
Very good. Well, we come to you with great news. Melissa is pregnant.
Rego.
Baby number two.
I know. Holy cow.
Little Keeks gets a little bro.
I know. We're excited to have a boy.
I know. I'm excited for you. Oh, I'm excited for Kiki.
I know. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. So let's get into it. So we met, I don't know, seventh grade?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Gosh. I don't know. How old are you in seventh grade?
Like four.
Teen? You're like four. We're definitely not four.
We were like 12, right?
Yeah, I guess.
No,
13? 13.
Yeah.
13 or so. Holy crap.
Right?
That's what, 18 years? We've been friends for 18 years. I mean, I would say we probably got a lot closer in sophomore year. Yeah, for sure.
I was thinking about that too. Yeah, it was more high school, but we definitely had to meet like in seventh grade.
Yeah, possibly through one of those AIM chat rooms with all our friends. I feel like that's how I met so many people in junior high. We just all were in like a 40-person chat room and all from the same school. So we were all kind of friends, right? And then you start putting faces and names together and you say hi in the hallways and stuff. So
yeah, it's like I can't remember when like the day I met you.
Right.
But I remember like who you were and that you were loud and that you talked a lot. But I could not put a like date to it.
Yeah. Well, there we go. It's exactly what I was and exactly what I still somewhat am. So that's good.
Yeah.
You know what? I did not even think of the most memorable or funny story of us. I mean, I have one that may be a little inappropriate.
It's probably the one I'm thinking of.
Oh, really? Is it the bathroom?
Your bathroom in high school?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay, well, I'll let you tell that story because I have another one that's fun.
Okay. Gosh, if I can even remember.
Yeah, I know.
So that had to be sophomore year of high school.
Yeah, probably.
When we were like hanging out with the seniors and like going to parties and stuff.
Yeah.
And we had a quote-unquote sleepover
so
that I could go to your house and we could sneak out and go to a party.
Oh.
So somehow we got back in, right?
Yeah, we snuck out of my window that's like way too high. So we had to have a chair outside.
And there's no way we were quiet about it. Like, that was impossible.
Hey, my parents had no idea.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think they just didn't really get the concept of kids sneaking out. Like, that wasn't really even on their radar.
Party and drink? Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
I don't remember if it was, like, right when we got back in or, like, I woke up later that night, but clearly I had to pee. So I made it into your bathroom and for whatever reason decided to just sit on the floor. And, like, and I just, like, peed. I have no idea.
Oh, my God.
I think I was, like, half asleep, like, dreaming or something.
Yeah. Oh, it's so funny. I just can't. I can't even. And then the next morning, my mom was like, what is this? Is this pee? And I was like, no way, Mom. It's just water. We probably just spilled water.
She found it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's so embarrassing. I felt so bad. I could not believe that.
Oh, it's so good. I love it. Oh, that's such a good story.
What the hell did I do?
I know. Well, thanks for sharing that. That was great. Yeah, mine's definitely not as interesting, I guess. Mine's more of just a memory rather than like a funny story. It's when I was working at the Fairmont and you and your sister came to visit me. And partially the reason why I remember this so well is because it keeps popping up on, like, my last year on this day, like, you know, thing. And it's a photo of you on the piano and Carrie dancing, maybe?
Yeah, sounds right.
It was, like, late night after the bars, I think.
Yes.
You guys stopped by my work, which was a fancy hotel. And, yeah, they had a piano, and we were just hanging out, walking around the hotel. And then remember the Godfather picture of mine?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I have a really badass photo. Maybe I'll post
that right. Later.
Yeah, so it was just like a fun, nice little adventure late night in a hotel.
That was really fun. It was like the whole hotel was our playground. Yeah. We had just like had it to ourselves. Yeah. Except I felt so bad. You kept telling us to be quiet.
Oh, yeah.
And I do want to say in general, I have a lot of just fun memories of like your Santana Row days.
Oh, yeah.
We'd go meet up there a lot. That was just fun times.
Yeah. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We still do.
Yeah.
So Melissa is talking to me from Petaluma, California.
P-Town.
P-Town, as they call it. Is it hot there right now?
Yes, it is.
Okay. That's normal for you guys. Here it's been really nice.
Good.
Nice. Yeah.
Yay.
So there's that. Okay, so let's get into some games.
Okay.
Okay, so the first game we're going to play is WWYD. What would you do? Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you a scenario and you're going to tell me what you would do.
Okay.
If one of your sisters won $3 million in the lottery, how much would you expect to get, if any?
That's really great. Well, first of all, I'd be like, hey, there's three of us, so
well, I guess obviously. It would be your sisters or brother. So now there's four of you.
Oh, that's so funny. God, I wouldn't expect a dollar amount right off the bat, but, you know, I'd hope that they'd want to share.
And I feel like $3 million is, like, just small enough that it's, like, you can't expect anything big, yeah. You know? It's kind of like, maybe on a family vacation.
Yeah, that could mostly be like retirement or college money for kids, right? Yeah. So it doesn't really leave much.
I know.
I'm just kidding. I guess I'd rather them want to like take us on a trip or have some like experiences we could hang out together versus like I expect, you know, $25,000
or wouldn't whatever. Wouldn't that be nice though?
I guess it would.
Gosh, $25,000 still doesn't even come close to covering, like, 1 year's rent.
That's still not a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, $100,000.
Okay, there we go. Woohoo! Yeah, absolutely.
That's hard.
Oh, man. All right. And let's play 10-2. We're going to say 5 random words, and then we're each going to come up with a story. So the story doesn't have to contain all 10 words, but try and put in as much as you can. The words don't have to be exactly that same exact word. So if we say a word mug, you can do cup, just as long as we can kind of tell where you got the word from.
Okay.
And then try to make it a real story. It doesn't have to be like a real thing that happened, but just like realistic, I guess.
Okay,
so go ahead with your 5 words, please.
Okay. Seesaw. Chocolate sauce. Oh, that's 2.
It's okay.
Boxers. Umbrella. And mortgage.
Oh. That's serious.
I know.
I need to stop looking around. I really need to come up with things.
I know. It's like, I love lamp.
Yeah. I love lamp. All right. I'm going to do treadmill. Flabbergasted.
Oh, boy.
Shoelaces. Pine nuts. Also 2 words. Yoga. Okay. So, yeah. I mean, basically, this is kind of like an improvised storytelling.
Is this one of your exercises that you do?
I mean, I made it up.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Now I'm making up games for improv.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Look at you. Okay. Are you first or me?
You would be first, m'lady.
Okay. So once upon a time, there were 2 friends named Christine and Melissa, and they loved to do yoga together. So every Saturday morning, they went and they grabbed their pine nuts and they tied their shoelaces and they headed over to the yoga studio. And they laughed the whole way. They mostly got an ab workout from laughing. That they decided they didn't even need to use the treadmill there. And one day they were flabbergasted by what they saw outside their yoga studio. That they dropped their mats and they went outside. And they found a little birdie that fell out of its nest. And they decided, oh, we're going to keep it. Even though that's not in the laws of nature. But they were young and dumb, so they kept the birdie. And Christine made a little nest in her house and raised the birdie because it seems like something she would do. And then when they were all grown up, they decided to let the birdie go fly away and they set it free.
Wait, when Christine and Melissa were all grown up?
Yeah.
So they raised the bird for like 10 years?
Yeah. I guess I didn't say when we found it, but.
Oh, yeah. And like, why are you going to do yoga when you're 8?
I know. I guess it could have been in high school.
Yeah, true that. Oh, that's funny.
Oh, my God. I think I got it.
Yeah. You got it. Oh, my God. That's funny.
That's fun.
Okay. Wow. That was like a very imaginative story.
Thanks.
Okay. So I'm going to tell a story about two adults named Christine and Melissa. They met at the gym while they were on the treadmill, and they bonded over their stress over their mortgage. Mm-hmm. They were both flabbergasted at how much money they needed to buy a house in California. So after working out, they went to an ice cream shop and got extra chocolate sauce on their sundaes to drown in their sorrows by eating sweets, and then discussed about maybe taking yoga together for the stress later on. The end.
Yay!
Okay, so let's get into this interview.
Okay.
Yeah, let's start with growing up, just your childhood kind of family dynamics.
Yeah, born and raised in San Jose, grew up in the same house forever.
Yeah, it did.
Which my parents just are renting out now, and I'm 30 years old now. So good for them.
Right.
Yeah, so grew up there. I have an older brother, and then it's me, and then I have two younger sisters. And I really liked where we grew up, to be honest. It still had a good, safe neighborhood feel. I would walk down the street to my friends or rollerblade.
Yeah.
My parents are, you know, still together, which is pretty lucky. And we have a smaller, like, extended family, but otherwise pretty, like, normal, I guess.
Yeah.
Upbringing. I was the bad one of the four, I'd say. But still not even bad, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you were the one sneaking out and going to parties.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, and then tell me about going to school and then just, you know, your friends and adolescence and then into young adulthood.
Mm-hmm. I was always involved in sports, which I'm really grateful for. I think it taught me a lot about, like, leadership and working with people and dealing with frustrations.
Yeah.
So I've always grown up with sports, and I'm very thankful for that. So like through middle school, awkward times, at least I had like a home.
Right.
I had a couple good friends that I just grew up with, like literally from kindergarten. So that was also pretty lucky. We still stay in touch now.
Yeah. Which is amazing.
Yeah. Which is nice. Middle school, even with that like solid foundation, sucks. Like I feel bad. Yeah. Everyone going through that awkward stage of life.
Yeah. Especially with all the social media now, too.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Can't imagine. It's like,
oh my God.
So much pressure.
Yeah.
Then high school was the let's go party stage of life.
Yes.
Which was super fun. And
a fun stage.
Like a lot of dumb decisions, but luckily, like safe still.
Yeah.
Had my first love in high school. So that was cool. And then went off to college. Started
off
in
to college.
San Diego. So,
I think that means whale's vagina, right?
Yes. Exactly.
Or was it San Diego? I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
We've already referenced Anchorman twice.
That's sad.
So far. Let's see how many more we can get.
That's pretty bad. That was our Halloween costume. Did you see that?
Yeah. Yeah, that was good. Okay. And you were a good student.
Yeah, I still was. I mean, let me clarify. My first semester was great. And then after that, I just started to party. And it was like the first time I ever had to retake a class. It's like, oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you were always a good student in high school.
Yeah, I had really good habits. Like, my standards for myself, where I was, like, competitive with myself.
Yeah.
But, dude, college was like, whatever, I'm free, I'm on my own. I could just retake this class.
Right.
Yeah.
And then when did you kind of get yourself back to doing well?
I don't know. That took a while. So I was at San Diego for 2 years.
Uh-huh.
Sophomore year, I was in a house with a bunch of people. And there was a lot of Marines in San Diego. Like, there's a lot of military life.
Oh, right.
So there was, like, the college people and then, like, other random groups of people. And so we got kind of into this clique with a bunch of Marines, too.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And so that's where I met Dustin, Kira's dad.
Yeah.
So I never finished college at San Diego. We ended up moving to Washington State.
Okay.
I did, like, online classes at Washington State. Until I could, like, get into the program or whatever.
Yeah.
And went to the campus for, like, you know, part-time stuff. But didn't actually, like, graduate until I came back to San Jose.
Right.
So I took the long way.
Yeah. So at this point, when you moved to Washington, yeah, why did you guys move to Washington?
I became pregnant with Kiara while I was in San Diego.
Okay.
And so it was kind of like, well, let's move up to my family in Washington.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that sounds like a nice idea.
Yeah. And then you moved to Washington. Mm-hmm. And then you had Kara. You had Kara in Washington?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I did. Yeah. Well, okay. I realized, like, I mean, obviously this was I thought he was somebody he wasn't. And we were going to live happily ever after together.
Yeah.
So I just totally went and it was rushed. And, you know, my parents were worried and it wasn't ideal.
How long were you guys together before you got pregnant?
We were probably together in San Diego for like year and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was so young. I was like 21.
Yeah. So you got pregnant, 21, moved to Washington, and at 22 you had Kira.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for me, you kind of disappeared off the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
We never really talked about what all went down and why you removed yourself from social media and really people.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Yeah, so what happened in Washington?
Yeah, no, it's totally true. I didn't realize all of this until like after Kira was born, but he was pretty much just an abusive, manipulative guy.
Uh-huh.
And I guess one of their strategies is to isolate you from people who care about you.
Yeah.
So that they have more control over you.
Right.
So, yeah, slowly I, you know, got off social media or I got a new phone number because, you know, he was, quote unquote, taking care of me that way. Right.
Mm.
He said, let's move to Washington because his family's there to help us with, you know, the baby.
Yeah.
No option of my family helping out at all. But
right.
He knew best. And somehow he is very convincing.
Yeah.
So just slowly, slowly isolating me. And it's weird when you're in it because you don't really realize what's happening.
Right.
Until it's pretty far in there, I guess.
Yeah.
But all along the way, I mean, my parents, you know, coming from that normal family, were like, Melissa, what's going on? We don't want to be like, get out of here.
Yeah.
You know, and push me away. We want to still be here for you, but we don't know what's going on. We don't think this is right. Like, it was really scary. I feel bad for what I put them through.
Right.
And he would always just do these little things that were weird, but that I learned later were traits of an abusive relationship.
Yeah.
So, like, being in the room while I'm on the phone with my mom, just chatting, like, listening in.
Oh, yeah.
Or keeping me stranded at the house up there. Like, we had one car and I was stuck in the house all day.
Oh, wow. Like,
you know, twisting stories around to make it seem like my parents are maybe being the crazy people. You know, just kind of brainwashing and emotionally abusive. And my mom was finally like, go to this website and read this stuff. Like, I think you're in a bad place.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what it is.
Wow.
I was just like, what's going on? But this doesn't feel normal.
How long would you say that was going on for until that moment?
Yeah, probably 2 years.
Wow.
So I think being pregnant made me more like, no, I have to stay.
Right.
I'm pregnant. We're trying to be a family here. So yeah. I stayed. And then once I had Kiara and he acted, you know, mean and abusive towards her, I was like, okay, no.
Right.
No, we need to go, actually.
Yeah.
So she was the reason I stayed. And then she was ultimately the reason to make me leave.
Right. How was he being abusive to her, you noticed?
Yeah, it was one time she was, you know, less than one. She was a baby.
Yeah.
And he wasn't around much. So when he was, she was throwing a fit and crying like babies do.
Yeah.
And he just got so mad and didn't know what to do. He like kind of just threw her in the bedroom and shut the door and was like, I need to go. I was like, yeah, go.
Yeah.
But the way he shoved her in the bedroom.
Yeah, right.
Like, okay.
Right.
And that was pretty well around the time that my mom was like, you need to look at these signs. I think you're in a, there's this cycle that happens. Right. And I'm like, yes, that's it.
Yeah.
So I was packing a bag to go down for my sister's graduation.
Oh, yeah.
And I essentially packed one suitcase knowing I wasn't coming back.
Wow.
Yeah. It was pretty scary.
Yeah. And then what was the aftermath after that?
So I packed the bag, got down here. We like got to a lawyer's office so I could get a restraining order so I could serve him papers up in Washington that said, this is happening. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
And of course the paperwork didn't get done on time. So he's at the airport waiting for me to come back.
Oh man.
And I'm like not answering my phone and that just added even more stress.
Right.
Anyway, he eventually got all the papers and we went through a little bit of legal stuff, but I stayed in San Jose and was able to stay with Kiara down here. And it just kind of,
So after you left, there's so many questions. Part one is after you left, how did things play out with his family? Because I know you still have relationships with Kiara's grandmother on that side and, you know, that side of the family. And let's talk about that first.
Okay. He has like 8 siblings, first of all.
Wow.
So I got pretty close with a couple of them. And since he was never hanging out at the home with me or with Kiara, the siblings would come and hang out with me.
Yeah.
So they pretty well knew the situation.
Okay.
They knew and totally supported me, which was nice.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have ever wanted us to like leave the area because they loved Kiara, but they knew that he had some issues.
Yeah.
And they supported that. So I'm glad for that.
Yeah.
I mean, now it's just, you know, we're Facebook friends or we'll chat a little bit here and there, but since we're still kind of working on things with Kiara and my current family, they're still respecting my space in this time.
Right.
And I don't know what the future will bring with that part.
Yeah.
But
have they seen Kiara since?
Mm-mm.
Oh, yeah.
No. Yeah. So they say, oh, I'd love to come out to California or,
right,
you know, see photos and stuff. But
yeah.
They also don't have maybe the like financial means that we would to just travel or come for a visit or anything.
Yeah.
But Kiara, you know, she doesn't remember anyone or anything. So how do you tell an 8-year-old, this is your uncle?
Right.
It's a little touchy at the moment.
Yeah.
And then we're currently, sorry if I'm jumping ahead, currently trying to get Chris. He wants to adopt her.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll all, you know, finally have the same last name and be a unit. So I want to work on that and kind of make sure she has a good foundation. And then as she matures, you know, we can.
I love that. What about Kiara's dad? Like, where, what's he doing? What's he all about now?
Yeah. So right before I left Washington, he was pretty into marijuana and experimenting with other things.
Oh.
He had some leftover like pain medication. I honestly don't know if he was taking it or selling it or whatever, but
yeah,
he was definitely into that whole scene. So after we left, I just heard more and more stories of him kind of going down a spiral with drugs.
Yeah.
So after we left, he did come to see Kiara once.
Yeah.
It was like a, you know, supervised visit and I wasn't there. But after that visit, I just kept hearing more and more stories. He ended up like in Mexico for a while doing drugs.
Wow.
In and out of jail. Like, don't know where he is.
Wow. I'm just
currently actually trying to find him.
Wow.
But no, nothing hinting that he wants a part of it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you trying to find him because of the whole adoption thing? Do you need his signature for something or whatever?
Yeah. He can either say, sure, that sounds great here, just take it.
Yeah.
And then if that doesn't happen, then we kind of try to set a court date.
Yeah.
But again, if we can't find him, then it's just like, I can publish something in a newspaper that says, hello, wherever you may be, this is happening.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of where I'm at now in the process.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's, I don't know, Mexico or San Diego or.
Right.
But pretty well like a transient.
Yeah. Damn. Sorry if I keep circling back to things. So no. As far as his side of the family goes, you guys are Facebook friends, but do you guys actually talk ever? Or is it very much like a photo, she's beautiful, like, oh, you look so happy type of thing?
Yeah, the second part.
Okay, well, that's good. That's I think, the best case scenario in this situation.
Yeah, and I have nothing, no ill will or anything, mm-hmm. but I really was just trying to not confuse Kiara.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's definitely asked, you know, something.
Yeah.
Just try to remind her that it's not that he didn't love you or
right.
He just has some problems.
Right. Yeah.
Try to keep it like as simple as possible. And then I'm sure it'll come up when she's older and you know, see what happens.
And honestly, look at the dad she has now, you know, it's all worked out for the best.
She loves him.
We're so jumping ahead. Okay. And then, when you first moved back to San Jose, what was your healing process like?
Shit.
That couldn't have been easy.
I, like, look back at some photos,
yeah.
and I feel like I was, like, the skinniest I've ever been.
Wow.
All the stress. By the way, random story to throw in there. One of the places we lived in Washington, gosh, I really blocked a lot of this out.
Yeah.
One of the places we lived, we had roommates for a while.
Uh-huh.
And Dustin came home from his class, mm-hmm. and his roommate, like, was taking his gun out of his jacket and accidentally shot Dustin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That was another. Oh, my God.
Oh, definitely not a very safe environment.
Oh, my God. Totally.
Yeah.
But luckily, Kier and I were also down visiting my family for something. But
oh, okay.
We went back up and spent a ton of time in the hospital.
Where was he shot? Got
in the chest.
Holy crap.
Yes.
Wow. That is
so anyway, I was crazy. Completely stressed. Like,
yeah.
Super skinny. So when I got back home, I actually found a women's, like, shelter therapy home kind of thing.
Yeah.
But they gave, like, free counseling services.
Okay.
I went there, and that was absolutely great for me to do.
Yeah.
There's individual help, and then there's, like, group help.
Yeah.
God, there's some bad stories, like a lot worse than you think you may be. So I did that and that helped a lot. I found a church eventually, being back in San Jose. That was really just nice.
Yeah.
Nice to have. Met some new people. And then I got back into classes. So I got back into school so I could finish my degree.
Yeah.
And then I really just was able to spend time with Kiara during the day. And then my parents helped watch her at night so I could go to class.
Yeah.
So nobody likes to hear, like, time will heal. But
right.
it really took just time to be in a normal, supportive, you know, healthy place again.
Yeah.
And there were things that would come back up over, you know, even a year down the road, but it was really good to look at what happened and learn what I don't want in a person or in my life and how to set boundaries.
Yeah. You kind of touched on having a supportive family, but can you expand a little bit on your support system?
I guess in a situation where you're trying to like escape, I feel very sad for those who don't have just a place to go.
Yeah.
So having a house and a room and food and childcare.
Yeah.
And no job.
Right.
It was like huge.
Yeah.
So my parents, of course, having been worried that whole time I was with him, really.
Yeah.
Were probably like celebrating that I was back. But financially, it was a lot.
Yeah.
Of help.
Sure. Yeah.
And just the basic needs of life, shelter, food.
Yeah.
I think a lot of my siblings were like away at college for themselves. So it was really just me in that house with my parents for that last year. So it was my parents a lot. My sister came back for a summer. So I had her to hang out with. And then like I had you and I had like, I think Heather was still around. So I had like a few friends still that I could go out with and feel normal again.
Yeah.
But other than that, it was pretty much pretty like solitary family.
Yeah. How long? I mean, of course, fully healed is, you know, not measurable really, but when do you think you really got to that place of normalcy?
Yeah.
Normalcy.
Yeah, I'd say it was at least a solid year after I came back.
Yeah.
I did some classes at the junior college and then I applied to San Jose State.
Mm-hmm.
So those night classes, like one or two or three at a time, were really good practice for me to just like socialize again.
Yeah.
Be honest.
Wow. Yeah.
So it's like, oh, where are you from? Like, where do you live? What are you studying? And it's like, I was older than everybody.
Yeah. Right.
I had a kid.
Right.
And it's like, what do you say? Oh, hey, just back at my parents because I left an abusive guy and my daughter's at home. Like,
yeah.
Ooh,
right.
That's awkward.
Oh, yeah.
So I just slowly was like, how much do I want to share, and learned how to like meet people and be social again, even though I felt pretty like scared and depressed for a while.
Yeah.
But it was really good for me to focus on school because I was like, okay, now it's up to me. Like, I got to take care of her.
Yeah.
I was a freaking nerd. I was like sitting in the front getting A's again.
Raising your hand.
Yeah. Oh, totally. I was that girl.
Yeah.
But a solid year. And then I think once I got into San Jose State, I was more comfortable with myself.
Good.
I was, you know, wasn't ashamed anymore.
Yeah.
I knew what was going on. This was bad. This is how I want to be in the future.
Yeah.
This is how to recognize these things in the future.
Yeah.
I mean, at least a solid year till I was pretty confident again.
Yeah. So timeline-wise, what is the year? What year are we in now? Like San Jose State?
2011.
Okay.
2012.
Did you graduate in 12?
Yes.
Yeah. We graduated. Well, I walked when you graduated, but maybe a different semester.
Yeah.
So you graduate college in 2012. And then where do you go from there?
So, yeah, so I'm pretty sure, just to go back, that I came back with Kiara on that flight, like, June of 2010, and then graduated 2012. So,
yeah, okay.
All that in-between time. And then after that, I got my first job at a credit union in San Jose. My degree was business marketing, so I graduated December, got a job in January.
Nice.
Super great. Started making money so that I could get my own place. I moved out of my parents probably just a few months after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just tried to be a grown up and do it on my own. But I was still like in San Jose. I was still like, or Campbell, like up the road from them.
Right.
And then Kiara was going to, was it TK at that point?
Man. Okay. So you were there. How long were you at that apartment and that job?
The job only like a year and a half.
Okay.
And then I switched to CPI.
Okay.
Which was the Palo Alto tech-ish company. But I was in that apartment for like the next at least 2.5 years, 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. Okay.
And Kelsey moved out and in with her boyfriend too within that time.
Right.
Yeah. So then I was like commuting to Palo Alto, trying to drop Kier off at school.
Right.
Trying to get back to her before the daycare closed at 6 p.m. It was quite stressful.
Yeah. All that traffic.
Yeah. And it's expensive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ridiculous. Oh,
gosh. And then what did you do?
That company was where Chris worked.
And Chris is?
A mechanical engineer. Oh, my husband?
Oh. Yes. Your husband.
Yes, my husband now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell me that story again.
Okay, so, gosh. So my other sister, Carrie, worked at CPI too. Mm-hmm. And she would always come home with and tell us these fun stories about softball, our team softball, and this fun guy, Chris, who's our coach, and we're all going to a country show together. We're all going to Chris's, and we're like, well, this guy sounds fun. So anyway, I ended up getting a job at that company as well in their marketing department, and nice. I joined their company softball team. I guess before that, I had met Chris because Carrie brought me to his house to go to a country concert. So I was just like tag-along sister.
Yeah.
It was super fun. He had a girlfriend at the time. Mm. But I remember thinking, wow, he is so nice. I want to date a guy that is that nice.
Aww.
We were the first ones to show up at his house. And he was like finishing some work because he makes those dog tag beer openers.
Right.
And we were like, oh, gosh, are we early? Like, I'm sorry. This is. We're the only ones here. And he's like, oh, no, come on in. He just cleans everything up, grabs us a beer, like so nice.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we had a girlfriend. So I start working at the same company and joined their softball league. And it was super fun. I guess Chris at the time was thinking, who could I set Melissa up with? Because she's really cool.
Right.
But then he ended up, it didn't work out with his girlfriend. So he didn't.
He was like, I'll volunteer myself.
Pretty much. So
yeah.
He was like, hey, let's go to this country show. Or, you know, he asked me out to dinner and just totally, like, courted me.
Aw.
Brought flowers. And we just kept hanging out from there.
Oh, yeah. The rest is history.
I know. Yeah.
Oh, and you guys are about to become a family of four.
God, I know. It was really fun to, like, work with him because he worked in a totally separate building. So we still had like our own shit going on.
Yeah.
But we could like have lunch or he would bring me coffee. It was very cute.
Aww.
But then when we realized we wanted to get more serious, we, you know, couldn't afford a house down there.
Right.
Even if we could, we weren't really sure if we wanted to.
Yeah.
So that's when he kind of looked up north. He has some friends up here and he had worked at that company for 8 or 9 years.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know. Let's just try it. And went on an interview and got this great job in Napa. And we all kind of moved up this way.
How long from starting to date him did he get to meet Kiera? And then how long after dating Chris did you realize that he's totally the one?
Great questions. So I believe he asked me out when I was still in that phase at my mom's.
Okay.
So maybe it was Carrie setting us up or something. He showed up to my parents' house and I'm thinking I'm going to do the thing in high school where you run out to the car and they're like, I'm here.
Yeah.
He came up to the door. He brought flowers. He came inside and he met Kiera on that first date.
Wow.
Which I kind of like didn't really want him to, but he did and it was fine.
Yeah.
Like, okay, here's my kid.
Aww.
You know, I dated differently. Uh-huh. I feel like I dated more with a purpose and we had more discussions and asked hard questions like pretty upfront.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of fun, but I wasn't really going to waste my time.
Right.
You know, if it's good, it's good. But if it's not, I can't waste my time. I have a daughter. I'm busy, you know. Yeah. So it was, you know, it didn't take that many dates, I think, to realize that he was going to be there for the long haul.
Aww.
Which is so weird.
I love it. And you guys had such an amazing, beautiful wedding, which was scorching hot.
I know. I'm sorry. Literally 100 degrees.
Yeah, literally 100 degrees. But it was so much fun though.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And oh, so emotional.
I know.
Yeah. I honestly, seriously love you guys so much.
Thank you.
Aw.
Me too. Oh,
thanks. Okay. So, I mean, obviously, outside in looking at you guys' life and your family, it looks so wonderful and great. But, of course, the journey's never over. Mm-hmm. So, where do you think you are currently in your journey?
Gosh, let me just start by saying it is better than I ever, ever, ever thought or imagined it could be.
Yeah.
And to anyone out there who is like, oh, I don't know, this is weird, it can be better. Like, oh my gosh, I never thought I'd ever, you know, be treated this great and have this great life. So
you deserve every single one of those.
Thank you. Thank you. I still can't believe it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in my journey, I honestly feel so good with where I'm at. However many years later, how many years later is it? 5 to 7 years.
Yeah.
5 years. Let's say five.
Yeah. I don't know. Time flies. Time flew.
No, what the heck?
Yeah. The last few years really flew by.
I feel like finally really happy with myself. And I feel like there's definitely things that I will learn still with a new partner, because we, you know, promise to learn about each other together and support each other through those things.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, you know, when you turn off a hose, but like there's still some water in there.
Yes.
And it comes out like when you randomly squeeze a handle or whatever, like. It's the same thing. Like, stuff might still kind of randomly come up.
Yeah.
Or you'll say something and be like, oh, gosh, I don't like that I said that.
Yeah.
Or I don't like that I felt insecure when you said that. You know, there's like teeny little things, but I don't think they'll be a huge deal for us. Like, as far as healing, you know, I feel very good finally.
Yeah. What an imagery, too. The little water left in the hose.
And I can't take credit. That's from that women's place that I went to.
Oh, okay. Oh,
she described
it. Cool. Yeah, I love that. So this is a pretty, almost like an obvious question to you probably, but what do you think the biggest growth within yourself has been since you were in your early 20s till now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I could just try to make it an overall message, is to really listen to yourself and what inside of you is saying.
Yeah.
And that I've been able to do that now.
Yeah.
Don't ignore like that little red flag or that voice or whatever you believe in. Don't ignore it. And I've grown so much with listening to that.
Yeah.
And even if it's not taking an action on it, it's just being able to listen to that and recognizing like, oh, this makes me feel this way.
Yeah.
Is it a valid point or is it because of, you know, something else that I shouldn't believe? Or,
right.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
So just kind of listening to yourself more.
Mm-hmm. And trusting yourself. And
yeah,
you have to be happy with the decisions you make.
Right.
So it's okay to take time away and to say, okay, self, if I do this and my trajectory is this road, will I be happy? Or if I do this and my trajectory is, you know, road B?
Yeah.
Because you're the one who has to live with your decisions.
Right.
And it's okay to take a moment and decide. And you don't have to feel bad about how that decision is going to affect other people.
Yeah.
Because you are the one who has to live with it.
Yeah.
I become more decisive. I'm able to listen to myself. And you're not here to make everyone else happy.
Yeah.
Which is hard.
It's very hard.
I think for women especially, but.
Yeah. I'm like grade A people pleaser, so.
Right?
Yeah.
What the hell?
I know. It's pretty annoying. Okay, so thank you.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah.
Let's move on to some Ask Choi.
Yeah.
Perfect. So this week's letter. Let me read this to you. Dear Christine, my teenage brother told me he has a new girlfriend. To our shock, she is a very popular cheerleader type girl. I don't want to talk badly about my brother, but he is definitely not the type of guy girls like that generally go for. He's never had a girlfriend, so I don't think he even realizes how an actual couple behaves. I'm worried that she's either using him for something, although I have no idea what that would be, or she and her friends are just having fun at his expense. I want to protect my brother, but I don't really know how to approach the situation without sounding like I think lowly of him. What do you think I should do?
Wow.
Right.
Okay. I guess I would try to, it's an opportunity to get closer to your brother.
Yeah.
And I would try to encourage the positives right now and see if that would get him to open up more. You know, like, wow, brother, that's really cool that you have a girlfriend. What do you guys do together?
Right.
Or what do you like about her? What does she say she likes about you? Or maybe it's an opportunity to get closer with the brother.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder, I don't know if teenagers really do this, but like if the girlfriend could come over and like hang out and she could try to meet the girl a little more and see what her intentions would be.
Right. I mean, I guess that would be my instinct too. It's just like kind of to get her to meet the family, right? Because
mm-hmm.
if she comes and meets the family, I mean, I feel like most likely maybe there actually is something and maybe she's just, the writer's worried about nothing. But mm-hmm. I feel like if the girl just doesn't come over ever or like refuses to meet his family members or something like that, that's a red flag.
Yeah.
But if that's the case and the brother is just totally oblivious, how do you, at that point, go after that, you know?
I know. That's because you don't want to offend your brother.
Yeah. Because, I mean, yeah, gosh, I guess, teenagers, you know, that's going to be pretty rough.
Yeah, I guess I'd just try to do some open-ended questions with him.
Yeah.
Like, what do you guys do together? Is she nice?
Yeah.
You know, what is she? Do you hang out? What do you?
Yeah. I mean, do you guys hang out at lunch, I guess?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you hang out with her friends?
Yeah.
Are you more one-on-one? I mean, what do you guys talk about? What do you do? What do you?
Yeah.
Because if she's just using him or using him to like make fun of him even.
Yeah. Because I mean, that's not unheard of, you know, that's the scary part. Ugh, that like breaks my heart.
I know.
Just that it's like a possibility.
It's like you'd want to spy on him or something.
Right.
But just to be like, hey, little bro, or hey, brother.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm super happy for you. And I hope that you're, you know, having fun with her. But
yeah,
just to be sure that you're still standing up for yourself and you're your own person.
Yeah. I mean, I think I would just do everything in my power to meet her, even if it's just like dropping in on him at school.
Yeah, I would do that. I would try to meet her for sure.
Yeah.
And like invite her, have her come over. I would try to do that first.
Yeah.
And you know what? Maybe in the end, her brother's actually really cool.
Yeah.
And he's a different guy at school and people are more accepting. That would be the hope.
Yeah, that would be the hope. Bright side. I like the bright side. I know this is a tough one. That's a good answer though. I like your asking him like questions about what they do together and stuff.
Just remind him, like, I have your back and I think you're cool and I like you. If you don't feel good or if they're, you know, mocking you or then you don't need to stay with her.
Right.
Like to empower him to do that.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. Love it. Okay. Well, let's get on to some closing questions. Okay. So what brings you the most joy right now?
Ooh. Okay. Well, normally if I wasn't pregnant, I'd say like a cold beer on the beach with my family and friends.
Yeah.
And just doing nothing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
But I can't have the beer part. So I think just I really appreciate now quality time with people that I love.
Yeah.
And it's so hard. Like we're so busy. You know, I just want to hang out. I just want to spend time with you. I just want to, you know, come home and hang out with Kiara and Chris.
Yeah.
So just having time to chill and hang out.
Yeah. I love that. Oh, I want to hang out with you.
I know. And I have to say, you are so good about that. And thank you for always like making time. You come to like whenever we move somewhere, you come and hang out or you come and play with Kiara for an hour. Or like, you know, like you're so good about that. And I'm not. And thank you.
Well, you guys make it easy. So thank you.
You're welcome. Anytime.
So this is kind of going to be a two-parter. So to someone out there that might be going through similar hardships as you did in your past, what would you say to them? And where would you recommend they start the healing process? So in two parts, I mean one with the abusive relationship and then the other being a young mom. Mm-hmm.
To anyone who thinks they're in it, you might not even know that you are yet. I remember walking down the hall of our apartment one day just being like, what is going on? So I would first encourage anyone who's in a situation to supply yourself with some knowledge because you're not crazy and go to like, what is an abusive relationship? And go to, there's hotlines you can call that are anonymous. You are validated. Your thoughts are real. You're not crazy and you aren't stuck with somebody. And then shoot, what was the next one?
Being a young mom. And I guess like being a young single mom, right? I think that adds to it.
Yeah. If you have, any support system, like I said, I was pretty lucky. Use it and you can thank them later, but honestly, don't be afraid to ask for help. I felt so guilty asking for help and then I even needed help in the first place. It's okay to take help because they're happy to do that and they want to see you happy. So, and then if you don't have the family or something, there's definitely programs that you can get assistance with, whether it's like WIC for groceries or applying for some financial assistance. Don't feel badly that you have to do that because you have to get out of a hole somehow. Yeah, hopefully you have some friends or babysitters or you can get extra money to cover that in certain ways from the state. Or there's companies that offer babysitting too. Maybe you can get a job there. But it's very important those first few years of life. So just try to spend quality time when you're with them and be happy and positive when you're with the child that you're with and teach them the alphabet and read books to them while you're there because that time is so important. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lovely. Okay. Well, Melissa, I just want to say something. Well, first of all, thank you so much for spending time with me today and sharing all of that with me. Oh my God, I'm going to get emotional already. I'm just trying to say nice things about you. I don't know why I'm crying. You are seriously one of the most genuine, nice, and kind people that I've ever known.
Thank you.
And I'm so lucky to have you as a friend. And like I said earlier, you know, you really, really, really deserve every good thing you have.
Oh, no, it's the wedding all over again.
Oh my God. I have more to say.
I'm going to chime in.
Wait a minute. And I really want to thank you for letting me be a part of your family. I love your family. And I can't wait to continue being a part of your life and walk through this journey together as we get older.
Yes.
Yay! I made it!
Yay! I know!
Oh my God.
Well, and me too for you. And I can't believe like where we were and now we're here. And I feel so lucky that we're still so invested in each other. And thank you, because it's a big part of you, you know, being intentional about coming to see us. You know, like you are making this happen. And I'm so lucky to have someone around me again in that support system to do that. So I want to be more like you and give it back because you are totally selfless person.
Aww.
And you'll go see a friend, even if it's out of your way, and you'll go offer help. And you put so much of yourself into other people. Thank you.
I mean, I do it for selfish reasons because I get to hang out with Kiki.
That's great.
Oh, man.
No, but we're lucky to have you, and you deserve all the best, too. And don't forget that part.
Thank you. Oh, gosh. Open up the floodgates. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Oh,
I know.
Holy
shit.
All right. Well, thank you so much again for being here and talking to me. I will catch up with you soon and definitely give me updates as your baby grows more and more.
Ah, definitely.
Yes, and I expect to see some preggers photos as you get baby belly.
Yes, okay. Coming soon.
Awesome. Okay.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Okay, well, I will talk to you soon. Love you.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. I got a little emotional at the end there. I am just so happy for Melissa and where her life is with her beautiful family. So happy tears, just happy tears. Also, I wanted to add something Melissa wanted me to reiterate. She wanted me to include the fact that Kiara's dad was never physically abusive toward them. And not to say either is better or worse, but it was very important to her that that was said. I will have some links in the episode description for the websites and some numbers for anyone going through something like this right now. And for those of you who may know someone who might be going through abuse, it's never too early and it's never too late. It might just need to be a quick conversation with a stranger through the hotline that could be the first step. And it might be a 3-hour long, teary, heartfelt conversation with your sister that finally gets you to notice the signs. But just please, talk to someone and hear them out. Okay, well, that'll be all for this week's episode. Thank you again for listening, and I will talk to you guys next week. Okay, thanks, bye!